Thank you for joining me today for unusual Friday version of the weekly update. And I first want to introduce Dr. Jose Romero, Secretary of the Department of Education. I'm joined by Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, who is a Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education, talk about our schools. And then today I'm pleased to be joined by the President of the Baptist Health Center, Greg Crane, who will provide an update on our hospitalization status. And leading into that, I wanted to start off by, before we go to the cases specifically, we will see that the active cases in Arkansas have increased by over 15,000 since last week, and to now we have over 100,000 active cases that are reportable here in this state. This means that over 3% of the population is currently an active case as reported to the Department of Health. Secondly, our hospitalizations have increased by 349 to record level of 1,658. Now, let me pause here and just say that I'm very proud of the hospital workers. I'm very proud of our education team, then our schools, because they're managing through this very effectively. You'll see that because of the steps that we have taken to increase hospital capacity, the steps that have been taken to provide at-home tests, the steps that are taken to be flexible in terms of the contact tracing, it's allowing the schools to continue. And you'll see that those that have shifted to virtual have decreased. Our hospital capacity is still there despite the high number of hospitalizations that we see. And so with where we are right now in this pandemic and with the Omicron variant, we do believe we're managing our way through it. We're responding to the needs that are out there, and that we're hopeful that we'll see these cases go down first. And of course, even after the cases start going down or decreasing in numbers, then you're still going to have hospitalizations are there as a lagging indicator in deaths. We have still a lot to do here, a lot more to go through, but we have positioned ourselves in the best way possible to get through this. And with that, let me go to the case update today. You'll see that we have an increase of 13,000 cases, which brings our total cases to 726,000 active cases, as said, are up 3,500. Very sadly, we've had 14 additional Arkansans that have passed away as a result of COVID, and you'll see the data later as to what percent of the new cases, what percent of the hospitalizations and the deaths represent those that have not been vaccinated. Next, our doses given remains a concern to me. I just think the confusing messages that we've seen nationally, the debate online, you know, we're slowing down the progress that we've made on our vaccination program. With 5,000 being given at really the height of the pandemic, we would like to see that number obviously much higher. We are making progress, but it is very incremental, it is slow, and the fact is that Arkansas reflects much of the nation that there is some hardened resistance to going beyond where we are in our percent vaccinated. You can see that we have 1.5 million now that are fully immunized, well over 50% of our state. Next, hospital data. We have an increase of 18 hospitalized and 8 additional on ventilators, and this with the height of the cases, but the much slower increase in hospitalization reflects the fact that the Omicron variant is not as severe in consequences in hospitalizations as the Delta variant. And that gives us a little bit more margin to work with. Next, testing. We know there's a lot more testing going on with our at-home free tests that are being distributed across the state. But still with that, we've had 15,000 PCR and antigen tests that have been reported to the Department of Health. Highest counties, Pulaski 1,000, Benton, Washington 800 and 700 respectively. Let's go on. And this is one I wanted to spend some time on, which is just really an update on our investment for hospital capacity. As you know, I asked the legislature, and the legislature supported $50 million in additional hospital bed space here in this state. And so you can see the first line is Arkansas Children's Hospital. We were paying for an additional 6 ICU beds and then 4 COVID medical beds you'll see over there. This slide was prepared yesterday, and we've been informed that Children's Hospital do have all of those beds open. And so we know that the ICU beds have been open and the med-surg beds as well. And you can see each one of the different hospitals and how they committed to expanding ICU and other med-surg beds that would be available for COVID patients. At the very bottom line, you can see 97 additional ICU beds, about 43 have been opened, and so that's about 54, I believe it is, that remain to be opened. So we do have additional capacity that will be coming online for ICU beds as well as the COVID beds as well. It's about a 70 margin there. And so we'll have more beds coming online, and this gives us some additional capacity as we enter into the coming weeks. And then this just shows the at-home tests that we've made available. We ordered 1.5 million at-home tests to be distributed in our local health units, our libraries. Those 1.5 million tests have all been received and distributed across the state. And we still have 370,000 that's available at our local health units. The libraries very well will have an inventory as well. And so that gives us a cushion for at-home tests in the coming days and weeks until Arkansans start receiving from the federal supply chain and the website. They'll start receiving those that they can order. So this gets us there, and this has helped us to maximize our hospital staff so they're not having to devote as much time to testing. It gives more people a alternative to a PCR test that gives them quicker information. This is an important slide, and I got to spend a little bit of time on it. And what you see is, first of all, on the bottom is the dates. The first date is October 4, 2021. It goes the next week, the 18th, and then it goes to November. So you can see the timeline along the bottom. And then this is the rate per 10,000. So it's a 7-day case rate of COVID cases by age group. And so when you see all of the big spikes that you see, which is the Omicron variant, that reflects the trend lines. Now what Dr. Romero is happy about, and it's hard to keep Dr. Romero happy, but you can see the one that is the blue, which is the 19 to 24 year old. And the 19 to 24 year old blue line has started to go down. And Dr. Romero can elaborate, but that is an early indicator that gives us hope that the cases will start going down. That's probably the most vulnerable population, and it was an early indicator later. And so we'll see in the coming days, but that one data point of the trend line for that age group is hopeful that we will peak in cases in the coming days or weeks. Next. This is a 7-day rolling average of cases and individuals hospitalized by day. And you can see here on the left side is January of 2021. And then you can see where we had the other peak in August of this year. That is under the Delta variant. So you can see the blue line of new cases And then the yellow line are the hospitalizations. And you can see the distinction here that with the Delta, you had our cases, 7-day rolling average of cases were very close to the line of hospitalizations. But under the Omicron, our hospitalizations are far less, of course, than the cases. Again, indicating that we have not only greater hospital capacity now, but we also have the less severe Omicron variant that helps us to get through this. I always like to show the percent that have been vaccinated. If you look at fully and partially vaccinated for all the eligible population in Arkansas, you're looking at 67% of our population partially or fully vaccinated. And then the age group of 65 plus is 88.4% fully or partially vaccinated. And in that age group, the most vulnerable, of course, needs to get the booster shot, needs to get the second shot, so everyone will be fully vaccinated. This is the positivity rate, and you can see that it's over 35% on the 7-day rolling average. That means it is very serious in terms of the spread in our community. And this, you know, is something that changes week by week based upon the Omicron, certainly different than it was under Delta, but still under the new cases, 75% of the new infections in Arkansas represent those that are unvaccinated. 84% of the hospitalizations represent those that are unvaccinated, and then the deaths, 84% of the deaths are those that are unvaccinated. With that, I'll have some more comments, but I wanted to now recognize Greg Crane, president of the Arkansas Baptist Health Center here, to come and make his comments, and then we'll follow it up with our education, and then Dr. Romero can come.
Thank you, Governor. In preparing for this report out today, my emergency managers told me an amazing fact. Looking back over the past 2 years across the pandemic, one out of every four COVID-19 patients who were in a hospital in the state of Arkansas were being treated in a Baptist Health facility. My hospital, Baptist Health Medical Center in Little Rock, has consistently, over those years, had the highest number of patients admitted. I wish I could take you inside the walls of the clinics and hospitals to show you how hard the healthcare team's working and the compassion in the ministry provided. I'm honored to be counted one of them. Today is a new high water mark for my hospital. 138 patients are hospitalized with COVID. The previous high was 129. At last count, the Baptist Health System, we had 333 patients in a Baptist Health hospital as a result of COVID-19. This is the highest number of COVID patients we've had since the pandemic began. 95 of those patients are in intensive care unit, and 52 of those are on ventilators. I worry that the general public doesn't think that COVID's a threat to them, that the Omicron variant is not a threat, but people get very, very sick. The majority of those in critical care are not vaccinated. Clearly, the vaccines provide protection. Please consider protecting yourself and protecting your family. As the governor said, patient volumes continue to increase. It's not just Baptist Health, but a community of healthcare providers that are coming together. St. Vincent's UMS, the Heart Hospital, Washington Regional, all working together to coordinate patient care across the state. In my opinion, the healthcare infrastructure would have been in very, very deep trouble if it wasn't for the governor, for the Arkansas Department of Health and Renee Mallory's team, and the state legislature, and the decisions they've made to help the healthcare community. Because of this support, this week, we opened 63 additional beds at the Baptist Health Hospitals in Conway and Van Buren. 36 of those beds already have COVID-19 patients in them. I want to try to close with some encouraging news, or at least some encouraging signs. The Omicron surge has created the most critical staffing shortage among hospital staff we have seen during the entire pandemic. healthcare providers, healthcare nurses, respiratory therapists, environmental service out of work because they were exposed and have to be isolated. But there is some good news in that just this week, we're fortunate to see staffing numbers begin to come back. We have gone from a peak of 584 employees in the Baptist Health System out to earlier this week, 323, to yesterday, 259 employees out for reasons related to COVID. I'm also happy to report another good indicator is that the demand for testing has also declined this week. We have numerous testing sites across the state at Baptist Health facilities. Little Rock has by far the largest and the busiest. Recently, we have seen as many as 1,700 cars come through in a day. Yesterday, I'm happy to report that the number was down to 890, which is half of that earlier peak. Hopefully, these are some good signs of things to come. That concludes my report. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. For today's school report, I am pleased to be able to report that we have seen a much better week for schools in terms of the data. Last week, we had 108 districts that had to implement a district-wide modification, which meant that the impact of COVID-19 caused the district to have to close for all campuses. This week, that number has gone down to 49 modifications district-wide of on-site instruction. And of that 49, a great number of those were due to weather-related issues that caused the district to have to close to on-site instruction. So we hope that is a positive sign for the future. We do know from talking with schools that they are now able to have more of their staff return. They've having fewer students who are having to be out. That's not to minimize that there are still issues going on at more localized at individual campuses within schools, and that does have an impact on students, on staff, on parents, and the community. But we are confident that the manner in which districts are making decisions and trying to minimize the impact of COVID in terms of learning, that the plans we have in place are working. Just to talk a little bit about how districts make those decisions. Every day school administrators are balancing the need for student safety, and that includes being able to get students to school safely, also keeping them safe while they're there, and also making sure that they can provide meaningful instruction, quality instruction for all kids. On a day when that is not possible due to different factors, sometimes it's a weather, a power outage, utility issue that keeps a district from being able to open. Sometimes it is disease or contagious outbreak like we've been dealing with COVID. Whenever that occurs, districts do have the option to implement an AMI day. And we know there's been a lot of questions about district plans for alternative methods of instruction. We have districts that are having to implement AMI, sometimes at the district level, sometimes with just one or two buildings. We are monitoring that with our districts. We're having regular conversations with districts. And as districts start getting close to their maximum number of AMI days, we're going to be working with them to help them think through what are the best ways that they can either look at having makeup days, providing additional instruction in order to minimize the loss of learning for students. We also want to emphasize and help people understand that if there are days that meaningful instruction cannot occur, there are opportunities for districts to make up the day later. Every district has 5 days of makeup time built into their calendar already. And so there are times when districts may have to just take a pause and say, if we can't be open today, we're going to come back and address this day of learning at a later time. And we'll be working with districts to see what that impact is as well. We've had a lot of people reach out and ask questions about things that they can do to help schools. And I would say that probably the main thing that we would ask is for parents and districts to communicate with each other, to talk about the challenges that are going on, to address the needs of students first, and also to understand that staff and teachers and support staff, they are fatigued, and sometimes they are fearful. And we know and understand that, and we want to help provide a little bit of confidence and hope that as districts are prioritizing their contact tracing efforts to make sure that they are providing a safe learning environment, but being able to do that while providing quality instruction, that we will be there to continue to monitor those needs and to respond in the best way we can. Thank you.
Thank you. So with regard to the downward trend in the 9 to 19 to 24-year-old group, it is a positive sign. That was the first group to go up and is starting to trend downward. We believe that we may begin to be seeing some downward trend in the number of cases. Our overall projection was that we should start to see a decrease next week, and we hope this will continue. This does not mean that we're going to be out of the woods. We're still going to be having significant numbers of individuals being infected in the state. And as the graphs that the governor showed, while this may be a less severe infection on an individual basis, on a societal basis, this is a severe outbreak of disease. It is taxing our healthcare systems. We've been able to address that to date, and think we can do this going into the future. We still have a significant number of individuals in the 5 to 11-year-old group that have not been vaccinated. Only 11.5% of that group have received full vaccination. We know that a single dose is not sufficient. That lags behind the national average. Similarly, in the 12 to 18-year-old group, we are not at the national average and have a significant number below the level that need to be immunized. Vaccines are available, and they are easily accessible. With regard to testing, we have distributed a significant number of the at-home test kits. That may, in part, explain why we're seeing less antigen testing being reported. It's not enough just to test, but you also have to adhere to the recommendations for quarantine if you do test positive. And remember that a single test that's negative early in the disease does not mean you've not been infected. It could mean that you only don't have enough virus to detect, and it should be followed up in 48 hours, preferably with another test. Tests still are available, as the governor pointed out, in the local health units, and they are accessible to all the public. Our public partners also have them in their libraries and in agencies that interact with our minority groups. So please avail yourselves of these tests. I think that we may be trending downward in this spike, but we'll see what happens over the next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And with that, we'll take any questions.
So do you feel like with the measures you've taken to expand hospital capacity that that's going to be enough, or do you think any other measures will be necessary to increase hospital capacity?
Well, there's not any guarantees. We're watching it very closely. I'm hopeful that with the extra capacity that we've built in, that it'll be sufficient. We're going to be watching the cases in the coming week, as well as the trend in hospitalizations, and make a decision as to whether more has to be done. But at this point, we still have more coming online, and I'm hopeful that it will be sufficient over the next week or so. If not, we will do more.
With the popularity of at-home tests now, are you worried at all that any downward trend in numbers might be a false hope because there's so many that we don't know now that might not be reported?
No, because I think the big indicators are ones that you've seen. It's a good thing that our PCR testing at our hospital, at least reported by Baptist today, has declined. That means that people are utilizing the at-home test. So that's a success story. And then Even though we might not know about a positive case out there, we sure know about it if it leads to hospitalization. And then the other trend line that you see is some of the quarantines for staff shortages have been reduced, at least according to the hospital reported by Baptist today. And so those are some indicators as to where we are in this. There's some simple points that people need to do. First of all, if you feel sick, stay at home. Don't go to work, don't go to school if you feel sick. Secondly, if you have symptoms and you believe you might have COVID, get a test. You can pick these up at your local health unit. That's what we've ordered, 1.5 million of these, and that will help guide you as to what you should do. And then if you, just because you might have traveled, you're curious as to whether you've been exposed or not, don't go to the emergency room. That's not the time to do it. Get a test, save our hospitals the energy and the challenge they face if you simply go to the emergency room. And then finally, get vaccinated and get boosted up. And if you're not in that capacity, there's N95 masks that are going to be available through the federal government free of cost at our pharmacies down the road. That's one that will be here hopefully early February. But get boosted, get vaccinated.
Do you track at all any percentage of people that are self-reporting positives from at home of those cases? I see Dr. Merrow nodding, but I don't know.
Do you want to take that on, Dr. Merrow?
So you are correct. Self-recording reporting is going on, but I can tell you that this is a very small number of individuals. So we do track that, but again, it's not in any significant number that are self-reporting at this time. So it really doesn't give us an idea of what's going on in the community.
So are you worried about that being so low?
No. I mean, you know, we have shifted. We shifted early on in this particular spike. You know, our focus is not just the number of cases in the community. It's really the hospitalizations. That's probably in this case the indicator of how much bad disease we have. Remember, as I said before, this is a mild or less severe disease on an individual basis, but on a societal basis, this is a very significant, very severe infection because it's taxing our healthcare system, and that's what we're keeping an eye on.
Is there any question remotely?
Governor, Andrew with AP. I want to ask you about two things. First of all, the Department of Human Services, their request to the legislature this week for approval of rules to be able to comply with the federal vaccine requirement for healthcare workers. Wanted to see, are you confident that the legislature is going to approve that, and is there, if they don't, what steps would need to be taken, or what would the consequences be? And a separate issue, going back to the at-home tests, are there any plans to order additional at-home tests beyond the 1.5 million yet?
First on the at-home test, there's not any plan right now to order or more than the 1.5 million that we already have on hand. We have over 300,000 still in inventory in our communities available to pick up. We'll be watching it, but with the availability of the White House's website and that you can order them free of cost, we think that's going to transition in that direction. So at this point, there's not any plan to do more. In terms of the DHS request to the legislature to allow vaccinations to proceed, or the requirement for our employees to be vaccinated, from all indications are that the legislature will favorably look at that, understanding that, first of all, we fought it very hard. My administration opposed it in court. We believe it was going to be costly to the state in terms of our employees and providing good health care. We fought that. But the courts upheld that, and so the choice is, do you lose the access to the funding that impacts our healthcare system, or do you put the vaccine requirement in place? And so we're asking for that permission for the legislature. All indications are that they will look at that favorably, and I'm not going to speculate beyond that. Anything else?
Yes, good afternoon, Governor. Brett Rains with 4029 News. We know you speak often with the White House on the call. Any update from the White House as far as the rapid tests, when those should start to be sent in the mail? And second topic, also, we've heard some organizations in Northwest Arkansas requesting assistance from the CDC to administer PCR tests and to give people a break and help with that. Have you heard of that? Can you provide more information?
On the first point, I've talked to the White House regularly, and all indications are that the website is up. I've talked to a lot of people that have gone online. It's been a smooth application process, putting in the address, getting the information in, and then that should be delivered, I believe it is, within 5 days. And so we're not to that 5 days, so we'll see if the delivery takes place as indicated. But so far it's operated smoothly, and I hope that will continue to be the case. On the PCR, Dr. Merrill, why don't you take that one on?
Thank you. I think a clarification is necessary in that. The health department was contacted by the CDC regarding a program called ICATT, I-C-A-T-T. We can give you the full name of that, and offered the ability to do a PCR testing. They provided the personnel to do so, and we took advantage of that. So we expanded our testing, and two sites are up. One is in Northwest Arkansas. And you'll forgive me if I can't remember where the second one is. But we are taking advantage of every opportunity we have to either get more tests or provide tests that are available. Thank you.
Anything else?
Speaking of the online testing, this is Zoe Henry, Channel 5. I saw another state put out their own website. We have a federal website. Is there anything in the works for a Arkansas website for at-home
test? Well, first of all, we do learn from other states, and so we always watch to see if there's better ideas. I like what we've done. You know, the system has been very well received. We get it out across the state. Of course, I think that's worked most effectively. Obviously, you can go on the Department of Health website, and you can find the location that you can go pick it up. That makes a lot more sense to me than a website that you put all the information in and we have to do the delivery. We have a very efficient system, and we'll always look to ways to improve it, but I think what we have right now is works the best. Yes?
How are we doing with the supply of antivirals and other medications that we're supposed to be using up front
It is a limited supply. The federal government controls the supply. We have requests in for more, and we hope that the supply will increase. That's a short version of the story. I was on a call with governors from multiple states across the country this morning, and they all have the same issue. It is the difficulty of supply. The federal government controls that. Dr. Merrill, did you have anything to add on that? So there is a shortage. We do have some. We want more.
How are they going to shorten the shortage, I guess? What can we get them to do to, since they control it all, how can we push back and make them increase the supply?
Well, realize the urgency of it, first of all. Secondly, work with the states in the proper allocation of it. The federal government right now makes the decision as to where those therapeutics should go. And so every state makes their own case. The federal government uses their own data determination as to where they should go. That's beyond that. You've got to ask and push for the administration to accelerate that supply chain.
Does anybody do
it then? Oh, well, the governors are regularly. And, you know, whenever a new therapeutic comes on the market, there is a shortage of supply. I mean, that's just the reality of our production. But we don't want to slow it down. I know that for a while there were the monoclonal antibodies that were not being delivered as they should have been to the states, and that's changed. So hopefully this will change course as well. We got two questions at the table, then we'll call it a day. Yes.
Well, so it doesn't seem like the cases have peaked quite yet, but it sounds like you think they are going to do that relatively soon and start declining next week. Is that right?
That's really the indication. And the encouraging word is what I received from some of the other governors across the country that in the Northeast, the cases are on the decline. And so they were offering that word of encouragement. And then the fact that we see some age groups that are going down, and we see in a couple days this week that our cases were not as high as the previous day in the week before. So there are those encouraging signs, but this is, COVID has thrown so many curveballs at us, you don't get cocky about it. And you want to wait and see, but there are some hopeful indications that over the course of the next week, we'll start seeing a decline in that increase in cases every day. Yes.
I've heard from a lot of parents and also seen online postings that a lot of schools are still having trouble, you know, getting masks to kids or getting masks in the right size to kids. Is there any way that that process is being made more efficient?
I think Dr. Fevre. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Fevre.
So we followed up yesterday with our school districts, actually provided them with data on the most recent shipment that they should have all received. They have their tracking number, the address, everything that they need. If they have not received that most recent shipment of masks, those were for kind of the medium to adult size masks. The masks for the younger students should be ready and should be going out very soon. So we're working with districts. They have their federal funds, of course, that they can use to also supplement that. I think we continue to learn a lot through the course of dealing with COVID-19, and we're going to continue to work to be prepared and help them be prepared. But if there are if parents are experiencing that, they should call their districts. But as of yesterday, they should have that information to know exactly where that is.
Thank you for your attention today, and we will see you next week.